I want you to take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter number 35. Exodus chapter number 35. Exodus 35. And once you arrive there, I'd like for you to find verse number 30. Exodus chapter 35. And then find verse number 30. If you'll look at me for just a moment, in a second we're going to stand and in a second we're going to read. But I want to tell you something. Wasn't too long ago, a pastor had called me and was asking some advice about his church. He has about a half a dozen staff members, and their church is about half the size of our church. And he said this. He said, "Brother Owens, how in the world do you all have so much going at your church and the growth and everything when basically you're the only full-time staff member?" And I said, "My church has a bunch of Basileels and Aholiabs in it." He said, "What?" I then taught him what I'm going to teach you tonight about these two people, Basileel and Aholiab. I want you to stand, if you will. Exodus chapter 35, starting with verse number 30, I'm going to read it out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this, "And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Basileel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Abishamash, of the tribe of Dan. Then hath he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work, of the engraver, of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, in blue, and in purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning works." Chapter 36, verse 1. "Then wrought Basileel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all the manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Basileel and Aholiab, every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, and every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Take the simple thought of tonight and help us to be challenged. Help us to realize the great opportunity that lies before us in serving the wonderful God of the universe. Thank you for our church people. Lord, tonight I will challenge some, challenge many. To others, I think the sermon could seem a bit of a compliment because of the wonderful people that serve here in the great Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Holy Spirit of God, do something unique and special in our midst tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. God had commanded Moses to construct and to build the tabernacle. And so you all understand the tabernacle, when you go to building, there's a couple different things you do when you talk about building a church. There's the actual building of the building, and then there's the building of the people. And Moses was commanded to do both. Moses was going to build a tabernacle, and Moses was also building the people and reaching people. Of course, that was a place in the building where the people could meet with God. And God had directed Moses to gather. He said, "We're going to gather a free will offering of the willing hearted, and that'll help us to get it done." This offering then would be used to finance the work, the building of the building, the reaching of people. But what happened was the work was growing, if you will. The work that Moses had to do, really, God felt like, well, that the work you have to do, Moses, it's bigger than you. And Moses, you can't get it all done by yourself. And that's very, very true. And God, in a unique way, gives us in the Scripture how God handpicks a couple of men from the congregation to help Moses. In Exodus 36:30, it says, "See, the Lord hath called by name Basileel." The other man's name is found in verse 34. His name is Aholiab. And so God said, "Moses, I want you to grow that work. I want you to build that building." And I'm not going to require you to do it by yourself. I'm going to send you some people. I'm going to help you pick some people, and we're going to get some people that are going to help you to get it done. Happened to mention two names. There's more than these two, but these two are the names that the Bible gives us at this point in the Scripture, Bezaleel and Aholiab. Moses makes the announcement to all the people, and he tells everybody God has picked Bezaleel and Aholiab to help get the job done. These were laymen. They didn't, if you will, they didn't get a paycheck from the church. And then this is what happens, folks. In the next 146 verses of Scripture, God talks about the work that's being accomplished by these laymen. And when we say laymen, don't let the word men at the end confuse you. There were good men and good women involved in making the church work. You understand, 146 verses in the Scripture that refers to Bezaleel and Aholiab and the work that they were doing. Do you realize that that's more verses that's in the book of Jude? That's more verses that's in the book of 1 John. That's more verses that's in the book of 2 John. That's more verses that's in the book of 3 John. There are more verses about Bezaleel and Aholiab than there are in 1 Peter. There are more verses about Bezaleel and Aholiab than there is in 2 Peter. There are more verses about Bezaleel and Aholiab than there are verses about Joel. There are more verses in the Bible about Bezaleel and Aholiab than there are about Malachi. And I could go on. I like to look at things like that, but I have to tell you, here's 146 verses about Bezaleel and Aholiab, and you ask the average person who they are, and they have no idea. Well, I have to tell you, I think sometimes that's indicative of the great people that God uses. There might be people across the country that know the name Jeff Owens. And I don't know that that's worthy, but there are a whole bunch of you that people might not know, but you're probably more worthy of getting attention than the people that get attention. Bezaleel and Aholiab. Nobody much knows about them, but they got the job done. They were picked by God. That's far more attention. 146 verses, that's far more attention than some of what we would call the prominent biblical heroes get. We somehow get the idea, if we're not careful, that God only uses preachers or evangelists or missionaries. No, God uses everyday people. I have to tell you, the greatest soul winner I ever met was not a pastor, preacher, evangelist. He was a layman. I have to tell you, I think one of the greatest prayer warriors I've ever met in my life, he is not an evangelist. He's a layman. We get the idea that God only blesses the preacher, and God only blesses the missionary, and God only blesses the evangelist. No, you all are living proof if you've been watching what's been happening around the Twin Rivers Baptist Church over these years. God's using you. And God wants to use you. Did you know that there are more lay people mentioned in the Bible than there are preachers? I have to tell you, pastors need people that are willing to serve and help get the job done. You look throughout the Bible and you look at all the great feats and the big victories. I need you to know that most of the big victories, there was one man of God and there were thousands of lay people just getting the job done for God. The work of God was too big for Moses to do himself. And so you all know, Twin Rivers Baptist Church, it's not my church, it's God's church, and it's bigger than me, and I need you. I'm not afraid to admit that. I need you to do what you do for God. I want to show you some amazing things and a little information that I gathered about these two men. One day I was reading my Bible and I seen Bezaleel and Aholiab and I started looking at it and I thought, wow, that's incredible what God says about these everyday folk that God chose, that stepped up to help get the job done for God. The sermon's simple. Listen real carefully. First of all, God called Bezaleel and Aholiab by name. God did. In Exodus 35:30, it is God. It says, "The Lord hath called by name Basileel. These, again, these are lay people that are being called. These are good, hardworking, everyday folks. And I want you all to understand something. I know you go to work during the week. I know you're busy. I know you're taking care of a household and running a business and putting in all sorts of hours, and then you come to the church. And I thank God for you. Thank you very much for caring about your church, and thank you very much for investing in your church. I believe that according to the scripture, from all I can tell, Basileel and Aholiab, they weren't priests, they weren't the pastor, they weren't an evangelist, they weren't a missionary. They were folks that had jobs, but God said, I'm going to use those people right there. He calls them by name. When it says the Lord called them by name, it means He picked them. And I have to tell y'all something. I believe there are people in here, God sent you to this church and handpicked you to help me, to help our church to be everything that it ought to be. I really believe that. You say, Pastor, it's kind of a coincidence that I stumbled in here. No coincidence to me. None whatsoever. You might not even recognize it, but I believe that God has sent people here and for a holy purpose, and I think God wants to use you. When it says that He called Basileel and Aholiab by name, it means God picked them. It means God trusted them. It meant that God wanted them to be used. I believe this. I believe that God is in the process of forming a team to help the Twin Rivers Baptist Church to reach a lot of people and do something spectacular and great for God. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I want to believe that. I don't care what you want to believe. I know what I'm going to believe, and I don't have anything to lose by believing it. I think God is doing a supernatural work, and I think we've just seen the beginning of it. The Lord didn't have Moses call the name Basileel and Aholiab. He did it. God did it. Now, Moses' job was to lead them, but God handpicked them. You say, it's a coincidence that I'm here, Pastor. It may be a coincidence in your thinking, but it is not a coincidence in God's thinking. I believe God has brought a group of people together, and He wants to mend them into a team and do something great for God. You've heard of Paul. Have you ever heard of Basileel and Aholiab? You've heard of Moses, but have you ever heard of Basileel and Aholiab? You've heard of Isaiah, but have you ever heard of Basileel and Aholiab? You've heard of Peter, but have you heard of Basileel and Aholiab? You've heard of Haggai. Have you heard of Basileel and Aholiab? You've heard of Jeremiah or Samuel or John, but have you heard of Basileel and Aholiab? God handpicked these people to help Moses get the job done. And by the way, they did get the job done. You know, I think, I really, really believe this. I look around this crowd and I see a group of people who I believe God is using, like God wanted to use Basileel and Aholiab. And so, God picked Basileel and Aholiab. Secondly, God filled Basileel and Aholiab with His Spirit. God filled Basileel and Aholiab with His Spirit. It says in Exodus 35:31, and He hath filled him, in reference to Basileel, Aholiab's included, He hath filled him with the Spirit of God. Now understand, these are lay people. We're not talking about John the Baptist now. We're talking about people like you that'll get up tomorrow morning, have a cup of coffee, and go into work. We're not talking about Gideon now. We're talking about those of you that'll go out and fight the traffic tomorrow, put up with all the junk at work, but keep on loving God and keep on serving God. Hey, we're not talking about Joshua now. Say, who are you talking about? I'm talking about Basileel and Aholiab, who I believe are representation of the great workforce of God. God has a few leaders that help get the job done, but it is the masses of the people that God has won to Jesus through the years that really make up the great workforce. Hey, if you really want to see the strength of this church, it is not in your pastor. It's the people sitting in those pews right there that are serving God and following God and getting the job done. The Basileels and the Aholiabs. Hey, these were everyday common servants of God, but wait a minute, filled with the Spirit of God. Now, folks, don't sell yourself short. I think you would want a pastor that was filled with the Spirit of God, and I do the best I can to try to make that happen. I fall short, and I know that. But let me tell you something. Don't you ever get the impression that fullness of the Spirit of God is only for the man that stands behind this pulpit. Fullness of the Spirit of God is for every single person in this room. It doesn't matter to me if you're new in the church or old in the church, if you're young. It doesn't matter to me if you're a teenager or a child or married or unmarried. Everybody is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And God said, this isn't the Spirit of God coming upon Samson. God said, I'm going to put my Spirit on those people that work 40 hours a week and keep serving God in addition to it. The Bezaleels and the Aholiabs. God needed Spirit-filled lay people to do the work around the church. These men were doing physical labor at the church and spiritual influence around the church, but they were doing it in the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you all something so you know. Spirit-filled workers around the church keep the tension level low at the church. When you come to the church and you're in the flesh, you're either going to get hurt or you're going to hurt someone. Because our flesh doesn't respond well. We don't act well in the flesh. Hey, all of you, Bezaleels, Aholiabs, God wants the people that serve to be filled with the Spirit. Spirit-filled lay people do better work for God. Lay people doing physical labor around the church, they still need the Spirit's guidance. You have to forgive me if you think that I overly spiritualize something. But let me tell you what. I'd like for you to mow the yard in submission to the Spirit of God. I'd like for you to clean the restrooms in submission to the Spirit of God. I'd like for you, when you're doing the electrical work around the church, to do it in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. You say, that sounds ridiculous. You let it sound what you want it to sound like, but our church is different. I believe that what we do, we're to do it in the Spirit of God. Bezaleel and Aholiab, the Bible says, and he hath filled them with the Spirit of God. Boy, when I was just a young man, there was a fella that was a deacon at the church where I grew up when I was a 16-year-old boy. I'll never forget him. His name was Don Gleason. Don Gleason was a deacon, and he was kind of a jack of all trades and the master of none. I remember one day, he said, Jeff, I need some help with the project out of the church. And he was going to do some maintenance work at the church. I've never seen anything like this before. Preacher, he had all of his tools out, and he come by and picked me up, and we went in his pickup truck out to the church, and he gave me a little list of the stuff we were going to accomplish. And right before we got started, he said, all right, let's pray. And I remember he bowed his head and he closed his eyes. He said, now, God, we're about to work for you. We're about to work on your house. Oh, God, help us to do it right. Help it to be done to the best of our ability and the best of our knowledge. God, it's going to make a difference to our church. I think people are going to get saved because the lights are just right. This got to be done right. Oh, God, please help us. Help us to do it right. Help us to serve you. And help. I pray, God, that if we're about to do something we shouldn't, that we don't. And if we're about to leave something out that needs to be done, help us to do it right. We look up and I'll tell you what, Tyler, we were there to do maintenance work and we were in the process of a prayer of revival. I never forgot it. I never forgot it. What a great man he was. He made an impact on a little 16-year-old kid that had just been called to preach when I realized there was a man that was a lay person, but he took what he did for God as a big deal. And he didn't do it in the flesh. He did it in the Spirit. Pastor, I think that you ought to preach with the power of God on your life, and I think you ought to usher the same way. I think you ought to work the nursery the same way. I think you ought to greet the same way and run the vacuum cleaner the same way and the weed whacker the same way and fix that drywall the same way. God called Bezaleel and Aholiab. God filled Bezaleel and Aholiab with the Spirit of God. Thirdly, he gave Bezaleel and Aholiab special wisdom. Special wisdom. If you were listening to what we read in Exodus 35:31, it says, in wisdom. He blessed them in the area of wisdom. Remember, these are lay people. This is not Solomon. It's Bezaleel. Old Bezaleel and old Aholiab. God gives these lay people here in the Bible the gift of wisdom. He gives them wisdom to do their work at the church well, to do it right. You know, God can bless everyday common folk with special wisdom, and especially do I think He wants to as we do our work for God. Ask God for the wisdom to see you through that project. Hey, whatever the project is around the church, whether it's physical or spiritual or whatever it is, maintenance, inside, outside, pray. Ask God for wisdom. Help Him to give you insight. That activity that you host, ask God to give you wisdom. Everybody in here that you run a little Sunday school class or whatever, don't try to run that class using your own brain. Borrow the brain of God. Ask God for wisdom. God said, I'm going to give Bezalel and I'm going to give Aholiab, I'm going to give them special wisdom. That's how a church succeeds. We think God's way, but you need that wisdom. Not only that, I see number four that God gave Bezalel and Aholiab understanding. Again, in Exodus 35, verse number 31, let me read it to you. It says, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God. We looked at that. In wisdom. Then it goes on and says, and in understanding. Remember now, these are lay people. We're not talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. No, we're talking about old Bezalel and Aholiab. You know, they probably came into church in a pickup truck. They wore their cowboy boots in. Oh, Bezalel and Aholiab. Wouldn't it be great if God would bless you with an extra dose of understanding so that you could serve God better? Hey, understanding comes in real handy. Nursery workers, when there's a little issue and you're working with a mama or something in the nursery, wouldn't it be good if you had wisdom and understanding, get yourself through it? Bus workers, when you're out visiting and that little topic comes up and some parent's mad at you about something, you need wisdom and you need understanding. And Bezalel and Aholiab were blessed by God with an understanding that helped them to get the job done for God. God gave them special troubleshooting ability to work their way through things. Look, even in maintenance, working around the church, God can give you understanding if you'll just receive it so that you can figure out how to get the job done for God. Hey, ushers, little wisdom and little understanding can go a long way when you're trying to work your way through some little issue as you're trying to host and help people and get the job done. God gave them understanding to figure out what needed to be done at the tabernacle and how to go about it. They needed understanding about the importance of the work of God. They had an understanding that, they understood this is not secular, this is holy work. Now, I don't know at what level you do your work out there in the world, but I just want to remind everybody here, this is not the world. This is the church of the great God of the universe, and He deserves our best. And if you're slipshod and late for everything and a mess out there, you ought not be in here. This is God's work. And God gave them an understanding of that. And they said God deserved the best. That's old Bezalel and Aholiab. You see, God picked them and placed them at that tabernacle to help get that job done. Then He said, I'm going to give them my Spirit. I'm going to give them an extra dose of wisdom. I'm going to give them understanding. Hey, it didn't stop there, though. Same verse, in verse 31, it goes on and says, and in knowledge, God gave Bezalel and Aholiab everyday common folks, the people that worked at the hospital, that drove the truck, that swung the hammer, that wired the outlet. Hey, God gave them this knowledge, this wisdom, this understanding. We're not talking about Abraham. We're talking about Bezalel. Now, we're not talking about Amos. We're talking about Aholiab. We're not talking about James or Noah. We're talking about Bezalel and Aholiab. There's an awful lot said about these guys. God helped them to know the things that would help and not hurt the work of God. But knowledge. Every one of us, before you make any move in the church, stop and ask yourself, is this going to help or hurt? Am I making my church a better place or a worse place? And I'm talking about in relationships, in your connection to this, that, and the other. I'm talking about spiritually, physically, in every aspect. How will it affect the church?
God helped them to know the things that would help and helped them to know the things that would not help. God blessed them with a knowledge about the church. God had given them, hey, and I think this, I think God has given some you given you knowledge and the ability to use that knowledge to help. I think there are people in here that, I think there are folks in here that have custodial knowledge. I've got one of the ladies that's on our cleaning crew. She does it for a living. She's good at it, and I thank God for it. We have people with mechanical abilities. Thank God. God can use you, and God wants to use you. I don't know if you all realize this. Throughout this building, there's a lot of knowledge. You may think that knowledge was given to you to make you special, or so you can make money. I happen to believe in the big picture it was given to you to use for God. And your making of your money is secondary. You ought to be using your brain for God, not just for yourself. So look, boy, if you have maintenance knowledge, God can use you. If you have a decorating ability with that sort of thing, God can use you. If you know something about technology, God can use you. If you have something in the culinary arts, you say what? You can make good fried chicken. God can use you. If you have organizational skills, God can use you. If you're an electrician, God can use you. If you know something about music, God can use you. If you're good with people, God can use you. If you're good with management, God can use you. God gave you a knowledge and God blessed you with the knowledge. Don't think that's all about you. I think God brought you to this place and blesses you with His Spirit, with wisdom. I think He blesses you with the ability to have understanding and a knowledge. And I believe your knowledge, if it's used for God, will increase the work of God and the church. And by the way, that increases you. I'm going to promise you, when we all get to heaven, when we get up there, you will not be standing around and talking about your secular job all the time. That's not what you'll be talking about. He said, what are we going to talk about? Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. We're going to talk about church and Jesus and salvation and the lives that we change. We're not going to talk about your toolbox. Although I do have a nice toolbox. Who are we talking about? Bezaleel and Aholiab. Not only that, God gave Bezaleel and Aholiab the ability to be excellent at what they do. Let me read to you. Exodus 35:31, the passage that I read to you a moment ago. In that verse it says, and in all manner of workmanship. They're talking about this wisdom, this knowledge, this ability. It's talking about their workmanship. They were craftsmen. And remember, these are lay people. This isn't Aaron. This is not Ezekiel. This is old Bezaleel and Aholiab. Them everyday guys. I mean, these guys, they grabbed a double cheeseburger and french fries at lunch. They're just common everyday people. But God gave them an ability to understand. They were craftsmen. God blessed them with a high quality of work. Now, I believe something. I believe God deserves the best. The best. I believe what we do for God ought to be done right. First class. We serve the Lord God. Now, we're not a rich church, but I think we ought to take care of what we have. Now, you might not have a lot of fancy clothes, but they can be clean. We might not have a lot of fancy stuff around here, but it's clean, and we try to take care of it because we represent the great God of the universe. And these men, they were craftsmen. In other words, the Bible says God calls their work, in verse number 33, He calls it cunning, which means it's classy. It's done right. They clean up after themselves. What they do, it's done right. It's not slipshod. It was done right. With God in mind. Say, Pastor, I did the job. I hope it's good enough for you. It doesn't matter if it's good enough for me. I'm not in charge. What you do for God. So don't say, is that good enough for you, Pastor? Take it up with God. Was it good enough for God? Were you serving God or serving me? Bezaleel and Aholiab, it says their work was cunning. It was superior. They knew that their work was done for God. It was a holy work. They weren't cheap and taking silly shortcuts. They weren't trying to get it over with. They were trying to do it right because they represented God. They took pride in their work. And I'm not talking about arrogant pride. I think they said anything worth doing is worth doing right. And if you're not first class, you don't have any class. And if you're going to do it right or get out of the road. I think that's the attitude they had. I think they had the hand of God upon them. And hey, God was in charge of their quality control. And I think God used them. God used them. I just got a couple points and I'll be done. Old Bezalel and Aholiab, God gave them a special ability then to teach these qualities to the others around them. The Bible says in Exodus 35:34, it says, "And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab." These are everyday people. They're not talking about Daniel that was a good teacher, or Timothy, or Apollos. Wow, Apollos in the New Testament, what a preacher, what an eloquent man. He knew how to talk, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about just plain old-fashioned Bezalel and Aholiab. And God said they would teach what they had gathered from God. God gives these common everyday servants in the church the ability to teach others the right way to do things. They taught other people to be first class. They taught other people to use wisdom in their projects. They taught other people to walk in the Spirit. You know, be a real good thing before we start projects around here that whoever's in charge will stop and pray. Let the young man that's assisting you watch that you're serving the great God of the universe and you're not trying to get it done well enough for everybody else, but you're trying to do it right for God. Let them see the wisdom of God. Let them see the Spirit of God. Let them see the understanding of God. Let them see the knowledge of God upon you. But they taught, I believe this, I believe old Bezalel and Aholiab, I think parents wanted their boys to work around them because those men, they just had it together. They had a great attitude about the work of God. They taught the importance of doing excellent work and having an excellent spirit while they worked. They taught the importance of unity and camaraderie among the workers. I think Bezalel and Aholiab got along with people. And so you know, usually when there's a fuss between two workers, the one that's filled with the Spirit is not usually one that caused the problem. It's the one that's walking in the flesh. The one that's shooting off their mouth without being in subjection to the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says Bezalel and Aholiab, they were influencing everybody else to be what God had chosen them to be. I'll say this the best way I know how in my teaching, in my preaching, in my interaction with you. You probably don't know it, but I'm constantly mentoring. Constantly teaching and touching and trying to guide and give direction. I can't mentor everyone. I need Sunday school teachers and bus captains and leaders and adults to be mentoring. And not mentoring people to be like you. Mentoring people to be like Jesus. We all ought to be influencing. Bezalel and Aholiab, look, I can't teach all the classes. Well, we have 20 Sunday school classes. I can't teach them all. I can't run all the bus routes. The Bezalels, the Aholiabs, the people that love God that have to go out and work during the week but keep on serving God, you can make an impact. Matter of fact, there's more in the Bible about the Bezalels and the Aholiabs than there are the great men of God, as we would call it. I'm sure of it. The great movements of God, the great works of God were not just because of the pulpit, but because of the pulpit and the pew in unity with the great Spirit of God, and God did something great. I really believe that. I'll give you one point and we'll be done, but I could talk about this all night long. I think this. I could talk about it all night long because I love the challenge that it is to us, but I could talk about it all night long because I believe that we have a whole bunch of Bezalels and Aholiabs right here in this church. And I compliment you. Thank you. We're getting the job done for God. Finally, and this excites me, God gave Bezalel and Aholiab an excitement about the things of God. An excitement. Listen to this wording. The same passage, Exodus 36:2, it says, "And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, and even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it." God said, I'm going to take these everyday folk and get them on fire for God. I'm going to get them pumped up. I'm going to help them to get excited. We're not talking about Samson. We're talking about Bezalel and Aholiab. We're not talking about Malachi or Zechariah. It's Bezalel and Aholiab. Now, you may think, well, Pastor, we expect you to get excited and we expect you to get all pumped up for God. I will tell you, there are a lot of preachers out there that are not. I'm so glad that after all these years, I'm still excited about serving God. I'm still pumped up. I'm excited about it. But can I tell you something? My excitement's not enough. God needs your excitement. I was thrilled. I was talking with one of our good men this week, and he was carrying some extra burdens, but you just should have heard him. He said, man, revival's breaking out on our bus route. We're having revival on our bus route. I'm talking about a businessman that's visiting on a bus route, but he is pumped up about reaching people on his bus route. I love it. I love it. Look, folks, number one, you can't hire me to be excited. I'll have to get excited for myself, but I'll tell you this. God wants you excited about the work of God. He wants you excited about it. Notice the words there in Exodus 36:2. It says, stirred him up. You know what that means? He had motivated. Bezalel and Aholiab were motivated. They were excited. They were thrilled. They were pumped up. They got cranked up for God. They loved it. Hey, they didn't do it because they had to. They did it because they wanted to. They were energized in the Holy Ghost to do something for God. They were not miserable. They were motivated. They were excited about it. I'm not talking about the pastor now. I'm talking about the people in the pew. You know, old Bezalel and Aholiab. 146 verses in the Bible are attributed to old Bezalel and Aholiab. And God, I think, wanted someone to notice the workforce, that common group of people that have available to them all these wonderful things, the Spirit of God, extra wisdom, extra knowledge, extra understanding, excitement, the ability to spread and teach that excitement. Now that's how you really get the job done. If we expect me to get it all done, I need to apologize right now. I can't. But if we all decide to get it done together, we can. We can. I don't know why. It'll probably never happen. Not very many parents name their new boys Bezalel or Aholiab. But though we might not understand it, it would certainly be a compliment. Because these were great people. Old Bezalel and Aholiab. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been born again, I welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. But might I say this, as you sit in the pew out there, I want you to understand, you're not here as a spectator. You're here as a participator. And I really believe this. I really believe this. There are some of you, you've heard me say, I need you. And you think, Pastor, you're just saying that. No, I believe God brought you here to this place for a specific purpose to get something done for God. And you might not be totally ready to accomplish everything God needs you to do, but I think God has something for you. Who here tonight would say, Preacher, I'm challenged by Bezalel and Aholiab. I want what God offered them, and I want to be a part of what God offered them to be a part of, the building of that tabernacle and the influencing of that nation. I want a part of it. Who would raise their hand and say, yeah, I want that. God spoke to my heart tonight. That's good for me. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. Wouldn't hurt some of you to come down here, get on your knees and say, God, I'm not much. I'm just a common everyday Bezalel. I'm just an Aholiab. I'm not a Peter. I'm not a Paul. I'm not an Elijah. I'll get up tomorrow and go clean houses. But God, I'm willing. If you'll use me, I'm willing to be used. Like Basileel and Aholiab were used. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Why don't you come to the altar? Come spend a moment with the Lord. And may I once again say to you, I compliment you and I thank God for you. This sermon is not a gripe. This sermon is not a complaint. This sermon is a praise to a group of people that are getting a great work done. A great work done. You have a simple country preacher that's your pastor at this time. You know, we have seen over 300 people saved in the last 4 weeks. That's not because of the pastor. That's because of the Basileels and the Aholiabs. The young ones, the old ones, the little ones, the new ones, the ones that have been around a while. I praise you. I thank God for you. Some of you need to decide that you're gonna jump in. Stop watching and say, I want to get more involved. I'm sure old Basileel and Aholiab said, I'm not sure there's much I can do. God used them in a powerful way. I don't think Basileel and Aholiab got into this to go down in history. And might I say, they really didn't. I mentioned the sermon title this morning and this evening, and everybody chuckled, Basileel and Aholiab. What could this possibly be about? Well, it's about the common workforce that really is the one that gets the job done. God picked them. Placed them to help with that tabernacle. They became an asset, not a liability, an asset to Moses, the leader. 146 verses are spoken about these common, everyday folk that were willing to be used of God. Old Basileel and Aholiab. Filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of wisdom, filled with understanding, filled with knowledge. Learned to be superior in what they did for God. They could teach it and spread it. And that they were excited about it. Serving God wasn't miserable to them. It was energizing to them. Basileel and Aholiab. Thank you, Rachel.